I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. So before the break, we heard from two journalists about the process of crime reporting and the personal impact it can have on reporters as well as their viewers and readers. We're going now to continue this conversation on the psychological damage of crime reporting with Bruce Shapiro, the executive director of the Dart Center for Journalism and Trauma at the University of Washington. Welcome, Bruce.
Glad to be here.
Listen, what psychological damage can crime reporters suffer?
Well, I look, there's damage, there's risk, and there's also resilience. You know, reporters, by and large, are a resilient bunch. But psychologists for the last generation have been documenting with police and firefighters and EMTs and other first responders how a steady diet of exposure to tragedy and threat can have some psychological effects. And beginning a few years ago, psychologists began asking for the first time the same question about journalists. And it, you know, it does turn out that depending on what kinds of stories folks cover, how long they cover it, and other issues, there can be some emotional fallout. And this may come as a surprise, or as no surprise, but journalists tend to think of themselves as invulnerable, as objective, and as not affected by what they cover. So among general assignment reporters in the U.S., for instance, people who cover car accidents and fires and crime in particular, the sorts of stories that Natalie and Michelle were just describing, it turns out that, depending on the study, between 6% and 13% of reporters in American newsrooms will self-report the symptoms of or the descriptions of what turn out to be either post-traumatic stress disorder, a significant issue, or serious depression.
Now, there are many different roles in the newsroom, Bruce. Do you have to be out in the field to be traumatized by what you see and hear?
Not at all. In fact, and this is something that a lot of even news organizations don't think about, there's a profound phenomenon called vicarious traumatization, well documented. And this has to do with, again, a steady diet of images. In newsrooms, television newsrooms, for example, broadcast newsrooms, there's often a feed room, and there are people there whose job it is to watch the raw, unedited footage of a 9/11 or of the war in Gaza or of some huge natural disaster, Hurricane Katrina, who may sit there for an entire 8-hour shift watching images of horror. Those folks are at significant risk of PTSD or other emotional responses, and sometimes that can be quite disabling. I know one person at a major newsroom in London who had a truly disabling brush with PTSD that was brought on by a steadily processing those images,
those
unedited images from the early Iraq war. It can happen to any of us, and this is toxic material at times for journalists.
Bruce, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
That was Bruce Shapiro. He is the executive director at the Dart Center for Journalism and Trauma at the University of Washington. How is crime reporting changing, though, and what role will new journalism play in putting an end to the if it bleeds, it leads editorial decision making? To explain more on that, we have Jane Stevens. She is a multimedia journalist and co-director of the Violence Reporting Project at the Berkeley Media Studies Group. Jane, welcome to News and Notes.
Thanks, Tony. Nice to be here.
So how does this project, this work, and who can get involved in this reporting project that you're involved with?
Well, hopefully any journalist who wants to at this point, because it is web-based and we are moving into this modern world where we can actually report crime in a community a little bit better than we have been. And what I mean by that is that although journalists have been doing a really good job reporting individual crimes, we've actually been missing the story about crime and how it affects community, and especially violent crime, because that's what we mostly cover. And so I really want to modernize crime reporting, take a prevention approach to reporting and crime. And
what does that mean? A prevention approach, what does that mean?
Well, the web lets us do something that we haven't been able to do before, which is really take a solution-oriented and contextual approach to reporting on crime, focusing on the issues that are costing the community the most economically and emotionally, and follow through with that until the issues are resolved or the goals are met. So, in essence, I want to take a sports approach to reporting violence in a community. And that means, why don't I take it the other way? So say that you took a crime reporting approach to covering your local NFL team. And if you did that, you would only report on the games that had the highest scores, the lowest scores, perhaps the games that had the most people, the fewest people. And you may not report anything much beyond that. And you might report the last game if it seems significant. But you wouldn't really have any idea of if the team was doing well, or if it was doing poorly, what it needed to do to get better, if it was having a losing season. The goal is really there is to have the team have a winning season. So in this approach to violence reporting, what I would like to do is to look at the data, and what you'll find is that we actually aren't reporting the kinds of crime that are affecting the community the most. And where we found that, interestingly enough, was at almost every metropolitan daily. For example, we went to San Jose Mercury News and we counted all the types of aggravated assaults that occurred in a 3-month time period. And we looked at what San Jose had covered. Now, we knew that of those 1,000 aggravated assaults that had happened, I would say about 80% of those were domestic violence related, because there's a pretty good domestic violence prevention program going on in Santa Clara County, where San Jose is. And then we looked at what San Jose had covered in terms of stories about aggravated assault, and they had 5 stories, and none of them were domestic violence.
Well, let me stop you there to ask you this, because our time is running short. It would seem that from a content standpoint, that what you are trying to do perhaps is admirable, but it doesn't seem like good TV, and that would be something you would have a difficult time getting on television. Can you give me a brief response to that?
Well, I think all of our news organizations are morphing over to be web-based. If you take this approach, there's no reason why you can't still have that individual story that is the marker for what is really happening in community. So in this case, if San Jose is spending half of its budget on emergency response in all sorts of ways to dealing with domestic violence, then you could highlight a really interesting domestic violence story and have that represent what is going on in that area. And more importantly, the web lets you actually engage the community to figure out solutions.
All right,
and that's what we journalists have to do, is to enable that.
Unfortunately, our time is out. I appreciate it, but we'll have to end it there. Thank you very much, Jane.
Thanks, Tony.
That was Jane Stevens, a multimedia journalist and co-director of the Violence Reporting Project at the Berkeley Media Studies Group. She joined us from the studios of KBIA in Columbia, Missouri.